Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June, where are you, friend?
Jess, you find me in New York City.
Nueva York?
Yes. And I gotta tell you, I'm struggling with the hotel.
Okay. Well, I'm looking and it's small. It's the tininess of it.
It's like a pot.
The walls are closing in on you.
And
a little bit.
That's fine, actually. Like, I can get down with a small space.
Sure.
Like, there's something about it. I remember when I was traveling through Europe with my friend and we, like, slept in the train cars.
Oh, yeah.
There's something about that I feel contained. And I'm okay with a small space. They do not serve coffee here until 7 a.m.
Oh,
this is the second hotel in New York City that will not bring you coffee till 7 a.m.
Wow.
Jess, I know you, it seems you've been rendered speechless. I just have to tell you, and then we're going to move on to so many other things, but I just have to tell you, this is the second time this has happened to me in New York City. The last time I was here, and again, I know it's a privilege to travel and stay in, and I know all those things, folks, but
it's not right.
I stayed at a hotel in Tribeca where I walked into the room and there's a record player.
Sure.
There's
a vintage, you know,
candle.
Something or other.
Yeah.
There's my motherfucking coffee.
There's a journal.
Oh,
like
God.
To just put down some of your thoughts.
Yeah. My thoughts would be, where the fuck
the
is my coffee,
is
bitch?
My coffee.
I don't understand.
I had a call time the next morning for whatever I was doing. That was like, I don't know, 5:30 a.m.
Oh, no.
Okay. And I called, because they left the little, order your breakfast here and then hang it on the door thing. And I thought, oh, great. Now I say, big pot of coffee, skim milk, some Splenda. I fill it all out. And then it's like delivery hours. And the first slot is 7 to 7:30.
Well, I'll be dead by then.
I thought, this can't be right.
This is the city that never sleeps.
This cannot be right. And I called down. Now, unfortunately, folks, I do have an anger problem. And it's gonna, I know, become public at some point. So I'm actually like,
just like my sexual
harassment.
You
want to get ahead of your sexual harassment? Like,
right.
I'm trying to get ahead of my anger.
I know.
You know, it's a problem, you know, and
it's like when you put on Spanx, the fat has to go somewhere.
Exactly.
You can only be held in for so long and it's going to peek its way out either.
That's
up
actually
or
why
down.
I struggle with Spanx. Sometimes I'm like, why wear them? Because they're just moving things in another spot.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, unless the whole dress can be a Spanx.
Right.
So I called down to this gentleman and I said, sir, I need a coffee tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. and there's no option. And he says, yeah, we don't serve until 7. And I said, your patrons don't need coffee until 7 a.m.?
Like, can I go not door to door?
Yes. And I said,
is there a Keurig pod in the room?
I said, can you bring up a coffee mate? Can you bring up... is there an espresso machine that there's no way to get coffee? And he said, no.
Oh, God.
And then he kept on saying, but is there anything else I can help you with?
No, that's what I need.
And I said, finally, I said to him, I go, I'm going to ask you right now to stop saying anything else I can help you with, because you haven't helped me with anything. I said, and that implies that you've already done something to help me. Then I say to him, it got so crazy. I'm like, he goes, there's a bodega across the street. They open at 5. And I said, how much am I paying for this room? Now, meanwhile, I wasn't paying. Netflix was
paying. Yeah.
But we didn't need to get into those details. And he tells me the amount, again, that a giant corporation is paying for. And I said, and you're telling me I can't get a cup of coffee?
You're like, you're kind of giving me Joe Pesci vibes from Goodfellas.
I don't know what's happened to this city. I don't know if it's, and he said, and then I said to him, if there's a kitchen here, I'll come down and make it. Because his whole thing was like, our team doesn't show up till 7. I said, that's fine. Give me access to the machine and I'll make a cup myself. And then he said, it's restaurant grade.
Like, oh my God, we really drilled down to these very, very deep details.
Really drilled down.
This is hospitality. This is what we deserve. This is simply what we deserve.
I have never, and I said, can I ask you, sir, am I the first person to call about this? Have others complained? Because I know you have international travelers. A stone's throw away
who
from
are
Wall
on
Street.
Japan time.
Yeah.
You know, they How have to get up and trade bonds with Denmark.
Exactly.
It is possible, though. It is possible.
And he said, you're not the first person to call. And I said, thank you. I just need you, because I really was, what I was struggling with so much with him was his sort
of validation. You needed the validation.
I said, I need you to validate, even though I know you're not. You don't own this hotel.
No, okay.
But I just need someone to tell me that this is crazy.
Yeah. And here's the thing. It's like no skin off his back, right? In some ways to say. But I've never worked in hospitality, and I'm sure they have a party line.
Then he kept saying, well, the bodega. And I said, don't. If you say the word bodega again
to God.
Me, I said, you can't say bodega again. Bodega is not an option.
You're giving him, so many guidelines. Yeah, well, here's the difference.
So
when I was in Mexico at the best hotel in the world, the Rosewood, got a cold that we thought, I don't know, it might have been COVID. It wasn't. But we were at dinner and she looked so unhappy, and she was unhappy, and I was struggling. And the woman came over and said, this was the maitre d'. She said, can I go get her some aspirin from the store? She went out of the hotel.
Oh my God.
Got her aspirin, brought it back to the table, plus a toy.
Wow.
I gave her my card and she said, here you go. I couldn't believe it.
New York City could learn a thing or two.
They could from Mexico. They absolutely could. It was
absolutely.
The best. But these are tiny little details, and I so appreciate it. And, you know, I really wanted to get in their planning. I want to go to the Rosewood Corporation and find out, just like Disney does it right with their cast members.
Yep.
You know, I love good service. I love when people are functioning at the top of their game, but we don't blame the guy down at the... Listen, we cannot blame him.
I did say to him, I'm going to need you to hold a certain amount of my anger. And well, I need you to hold a bit of it. Because otherwise, and I said, I'm going to need you to say, can I help you with anything else? And you stop saying that, because that's...
No. I am so sorry that we don't offer this. I get why that is insane. And I'm so sorry. There's unfortunately literally nothing I can do. I wish there was.
Thank you.
Can I do anything else for you?
This is healing me. Honestly, this is healing.
Well, because to take this down to an apology level, which I've always struggled with, is how to apologize. This is what it is. You must validate first the person's frustration and anger. And in validating, you're not taking responsibility for it necessarily. You're just saying it exists, right?
That's exactly right. It exists. 7 a.m., I've already lived a life.
You have.
I've lived 8 million lives by 7 a.m.
And really, it's 2 a.m. for you.
Yes.
That's the other thing. It's 2 a.m. for you.
And, you know, fuck a bodega. Like, it's not... an option for me. Like, fuck a bodega and stop saying it, you know? So you're absolutely right. That's what I needed. And unfortunately, I arrived at yet another hotel in New York City that doesn't serve coffee with room service till 7 a.m.
Well, this is the same thing.
So now there is an espresso machine. There's a Lavazza or whatever it's called.
There is, but that's not coffee. I'm not standing up in Milan with a bunch of Italian businessmen, and I can't drink that black gold straight.
I know.
And you don't have a way to foam anything.
Nope.
God, there's so few things in life that bring pleasure and joy, and coffee is one of them. I go to sleep thinking about it.
For.
Yes.
I go to sleep excited for the next morning. It's the only thing that's keeping me going, guys. It really is.
I think it's the only... America runs on Dunkin'. It is the only thing we're living for right now. And don't take it away from us. Don't.
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare, especially when I'm paying that kind of prices. And here's the thing
often I'm not, and often it's a giant corporation. But even on behalf of them, you know...
And honestly, I have other things to say that are equally inconsequential, which is that we are getting back out there and we are traveling. And how dare these hotels be charging $1,000 a night? I say no to you, sir. Yeah. No, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And how are we to get out and be seen by the people and get into those hot tubs if it is prohibitive? So when we even went to Mexico, my dad, of course, booked these rooms a year and a half ago, as dads do, okay, and got a rate that was like mid-pandemic rate. And he said if we were staying here now, it would be three times the price. And I'm not sure, like, yes. So anyway, I feel like, and the same thing goes for real estate. How dare you? I saw a house that I couldn't afford anyway. And when I went in, the gentleman said, I said, what is that gigantic human stain over there? It was like the shape of, and he said, someone had broken in and was squatting there. And they had not had the time.
At an open house? The stain was still there?
Yeah. They hadn't had a chance to really address that. And I started laughing.
I started laughing
maniacally, like, again, like a Joe Pesci moment. Like, I couldn't fucking believe this reality. And like that. But here we are, and we're just all supposed to fucking take it.
Yes.
We're all supposed to take it.
You're absolutely right.
And I just looked around. I'm like, I'm from New Jersey. This is crazy. I won't. Even if I had, and I'm saying this out loud, and people are like opening cabinets and closets. And I was like, even if I had the money, which I don't, okay, even if I had it, I wouldn't pay for this shit. And then like stormed away. And they were like, good for okay. You. But who am I?
Lady.
You're yelling
okay,
to avoid.
Lady.
Yeah. You're yelling it to avoid. So, yeah. So there are some things right now that aren't making a lot of sense. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And now I did have a wonderful experience last night where I got in really late from JFK, and I got into the car, and the driver, I'm always missing something tech wise when I travel.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Unfortunately, I forgot my pajamas. You know, that was a big blow that I realized last night. And I had to wear this like stiff robe to bed.
Yeah.
That like my nipples are like basically bleeding in the morning.
Yeah,
I'm so uncomfortable. So anyway, but I forgot my pajamas, and I also forgot a number of like cords.
Yeah.
You know, right. Number of important cords.
Yeah.
So I can't be alone with my own thoughts anymore.
No.
Like sitting in silence is no
it's not an option.
It's not an option for me.
100%.
Okay. So I say to the guy, I'm like, because I know my phone's about to die. I'm like,
please.
How long do we get to the hotel? And he said about a half an hour. I said, okay.
Oh,
and then I sit there and I realize, ugh, my earbuds or whatever the sort of wireless things are called. I said, they're going to die. Phone's about, they're dead actually. They were dead at that point. No way to charge any of these things. My phone's about to die. but I can't just look out the window.
Oh God,
no!
I have all of these thoughts crashing down.
1,000% no.
No.
Okay. I just left my kids. I'm like,
God, no.
I go into a really dark place. Today I'm okay, but that first leaving them, that first day, it's really dark for me. So I then put these headphones that I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Which I don't have a cord to put them in my
phone. No, I don't either.
Again, like so many.
You need a dongle, sweetheart. Yes. That's what Kulaf says to me. Where's your dongles, honey? I don't even know what that is.
So I decide to listen to a podcast
out loud.
No, but I considered that. Off my computer.
Oh, so you can plug that in. Yeah,
so I pull my
get
computer
it.
Out.
I need my friends. I need my podcast friends. They help me. They help me survive. I hope we are
they
that to some people.
Oh, nothing.
They help me
happier.
Be less alone. I need to have them.
Oh my God, Jess. I really appreciate you saying this because sometimes I feel some shame around it. Like,
I
need the voices.
I need a backlog of library. I'm so glad we have a couple now in the can so that people, if they need to, can go back. You know,
oh God, me too. Please go back. See what you learn. You know, there might be something in the.
There won't be anything, but the sound of our voices will remind you that you are not alone in this.
Now,
hellscape.
Listen, I've started. I mean, I was just listening to one, and when you'd be so disturbed to know what I'm up to.
I don't want to know.
And that's why I couldn't play it out loud.
You know?
It's so shameful. And I've taken to now putting the phone right outside the shower and putting it in a little glass cup and just like having the voices. Sometimes I can't even hear what they're saying, but I'm comforted by
me too. They're somewhere. Those women, it's always women I'm listening to. And I mean, I'm listening to some real gems right now. I mean, I always listen to the same women and they're my friend. They are my friend.
They're your friends.
The School of Self-Image with Tanya Lee. I highly recommend it. The Life Coach School podcast. Okay. They're informing a lot of my business decisions.
Okay.
I want to have this woman on the Simple Sophisticate podcast. Okay. She's fabulous. And
I do need to listen to some of these, honestly, to learn about our own podcast, because I do feel like this is very much so an offshoot of Simple Sophisticate and the School of
Self-Image. There's others that I can just like dip into.
Yeah.
And there are some that I'll turn on, you know, like I can't take it anymore.
I don't want
to learn, you know, of course, add to cart. Of course, I'm listening to the bitch set. I mean, that's how I get to be with my friends. That's sad.
No,
those are my
so
real
sad.
Friends.
So
sometimes
sad.
When I'm, that's
nice
when I'm like
check
really
in.
Down because it seems insane to listen to my actual friends that I text with 3 times a day. On a podcast, but sometimes I really need to like I listen
I totally
to you,
get it.
To you talking about, who's the guy who has all the wives? You know,
oh, Cody.
I listened to
the Sister
to you,
Wives podcast.
The Sister
that
Wives podcast.
One.
I've never even seen one episode,
know,
but it just
honey.
Took me through whatever journey I was on.
And
you
know
what?
I believe me, I understand it, which is why I was sitting in a car last night with my computer out.
Yeah.
And this thing in it, looking out the window. You know, it's so baffling. But then got up to the hotel room and I realized I left my phone in the car.
Oh God. Oh no. And did he come back for you?
Well, I looked because what I knew was that that phone was on like half a battery.
Oh God. And now you can't even call it.
Well, I didn't know. You know what? Calling it didn't even seem like an option to me.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
The ringer's
not on?
I considered that. The ringer's never on.
On me neither.
Never. You'll never hear a sound come from my phone.
No.
It's always. So, but I did have Find My iPhone on the computer. And so I pressed the play sound button, but I'm watching it go all the way.
Queens,
this guy was
where's it going?
He's off to Long Island. He's on the Long Island Expressway. And I'm
he's heading to your hometown.
Yep. And then, he's quite a bit away at this point. And because I had to deal with the front desk, there were a couple issues. And then I watch him. I keep on playing the sound. And then all of a sudden I see him stop. And then he turned around.
Oh, God bless. I hope you gave him a great tip.
You know what's so crazy? I gave him a great tip before I got out of the car.
Good. Oh, thank God.
You know, I never had cash on me.
Of course.
That's always
no, I know. I was like, what would you give him? I would have to give him a bunch of British coins.
About this hotel. When the coffee arrived post 7 a.m. this morning, I go to sign the check and there's no gratuity spot. And
you're supposed to give it in cash?
Okay. I'm looking and it's like delivery fee, tax. And I'm like, sir, where do I write in the gratuity? And he goes, oh, it's cash tips.
Is this a hair salon?
What the f-?
This place is crazy.
What the fuck?
Netflix should be ashamed of themselves. I don't know what this place is, but this is against labor laws.
Tip? I said, I don't have, I gave all of it to the driver last night.
I feel even worse for the man downstairs. He's not even getting a tip. How many people aren't getting tips now?
Oh, well, none of the people in this hotel are. I mean, I'm going to have to go try to find an ATM machine today.
And then what? Break into the industrial kitchen and try to find that man?
That was a different hotel, Jess. That was my last experience in New York. Anyway, this guy, so then I'm sitting on my computer, I see him driving back and I'm like, I think he's coming back to me. I see his little dot. And then he texts because, I can get an iMessage on my computer.
Don't know how that works. That's magic.
I got to read you what he wrote. I got to figure that out for you. He wrote me. He said, madam.
Oh,
madam. He said, this is chauffeur. He gives his name. I just gave your phone to the hotel manager, Peter. Please text me once you receive it so I know you got it. This is my personal phone number. Thank you and good night. And I write all caps.
Excellent.
I cannot thank you enough. I'm texting you from my computer. I appreciate you making the drive back to drop it off. Thank you. Thank you. No problem, madam. Madam. It was
The seat. This is excellence. He's delivering you excellence
thank
in
you.
His field.
It was under the seat. So when I looked back after I dropped you, I didn't see it until it started beeping. And I wrote prayer hands. I said, it's people like you who really make the world go around. Thank you so much. And he goes, well, it's the right thing to do. It's your phone. I would want someone to do the same for me. And I said, God, I totally agree. Good night,
gentlemen. This gentleman. And now you're going to pass that along in some way. You're going to pass that energy along, not to that man you eviscerated at the front desk, but to somebody else.
You know what? I know everybody wants me to learn a lesson there. I wish I could.
No, he needs to learn it. I don't know who needs to learn it.
I don't know. He said a few too many times, is there anything else I can do for you? And here's what I'll say about that. I'm also like, I could have gone harder, Jess.
I know. No, believe me. I know you. Okay. You could have gone Colin Farrell on that. You could have thrown multiple things. You really could have.
So much harder. About Mexico.
Okay, so Mexico, okay. Being with my dad was so wonderful. And I want to say too, June, like, I feel badly sometimes saying that because I know you miss your dad so much. So I just want you to know, I know you enjoy me enjoying my dad, but I just want you to know that I'm sensitive to that.
I know you are, but it doesn't... And I don't know, maybe other people feel differently. It makes me so happy to know that you have this precious time. It's precious.
Yeah.
And I know you don't take it for granted. It makes me, Jess, it makes
good.
Me
I'm glad.
Happy.
Because if it hurt you at all or made you feel sad, I would go, let's skip it. It doesn't hurt me.
It makes me, that's one of the gifts of grief and sharing grief is that I do feel like I hope my friends and people listening, if they're close to their parents and have good relationships, like grab it, grab the time.
I do because I know he's not there. I know yours isn't there. And I do grab it because I also
wonderful.
Know.
Wonderful.
Now, as an HSP, although people have told me we're not allowed to self-diagnose ourselves, so I don't know. But as a very sensitive person, I will say, having not been there for 2 years, so we went there right the week before the shutdown.
Whoa.
And I will tell you that Mexico was checking for fevers. And I was like, why are they suddenly so aggro? Well, they already knew about COVID. We just were being kept in the dark. So anyway, I hadn't been there with my dad. Now, Bibi is 2 years older, basically. She's 2 years older, okay? She's 2 years older. And... my dad is 2 years older. Okay. Yeah. So when I tell you that, like,
Yes, I had the most wonderful time, but also I was choking back tears the entire time. And then I was like, why can't I be normal?
Why can't I be normal in this? Why does the world seek to destroy me with too much emotion, even if it's happiness? But so, yeah, so then, and BB, you know, she doesn't want to dance in the square anymore because it's embarrassing. Okay, and I had to just turn away. I was like, I can't do this. And I was embarrassing because I started to
feel that beat.
I started to feel it, and she was like, you may not embarrass me either, okay? I'm older now, she said. I don't want to dance like that in the square. Okay, she still wanted to be there in the square at night, but she did not want to dance there.
And
she
did want to
do cartwheels during the day, but not dance during the night. And my dad, my dad and I are just kind of navigating all of that. And like, and then she got
to want to cry too.
Yeah, it was.
I want to cry too.
Okay, she doesn't want to dance.
But you know what, Jess? Okay, can I say one thing about that?
Yeah.
I so relate to that. I remember that feeling of being aware of yourself in the world.
Yeah.
It's beautiful too. It's like, it's not that she's not going to dance in a square again, you know? Not right now. And that's okay. And maybe she won't ever be a person who dances in a square in public. And that's okay too. You know?
Right. Right.
Okay too.
And there she was with those long legs. She has your legs, thank God. You know, she's got Casey Joie de Vivre, your legs, you know.
She's set up for success.
And she just loves being with my dad so much. And then she got sick. Okay. She got a terrible cold. And then I thought, oh God, it's COVID. You know,
did you have any like rapid tests on you?
They did have a test, thank God, at the hotel, but I was like afraid to give it to her.
I understand.
God, she's going to have COVID. We're going to be here for like 2 weeks.
Is it so bad? You know?
Exactly. And I'm also sort of truant, you know, at public school, they keep calling and wondering where she is. And I don't have a good answer for that.
You know, I am as well. I'm like family vacations, that time with your dad, way more fucking important. I'm so sorry. Way more fucking important. That trip, way more important.
Way more important.
Everybody wants an answer of where these kids are. I'm like, give me an answer about where you were for 2 years.
100%.
Okay?
Like they owe
me. And then
me.
I'll give you an answer.
Yeah. They owe me.
We live in Southern California. Why weren't there schools? Why weren't you closing down Dodger Stadium and opening up an outdoor school?
When you give me answers, I'll give you answers. You're Joe Pesci again. When you said that shit about why aren't they not shutting streets down and putting up tents? Like, absolutely. They have failed.
Come on.
Children. The state of California failed children. But anyway, so then that happened. And then she was like, I wanted this trip to be perfect and I don't feel well. And now she's having that. So now I'm like, okay, now I have to explain to her what I feel like you and I just learned at 45, which is it is not black and white. Mm-hmm. We can be sick. And that can be hard, but we can also love our time with Pop-Pop. And it can be all the things, right? But I'm teaching her this as I'm having nervous breakdowns, okay, about it. And then, and she's also like, am I letting Pop-Pop down? Oh, and I'm like, wait. No. You got to understand something about dads. You can't let them down.
It's like next to impossible.
It's impossible. My dad was, they live for you. I was like, Pop-Pop lives for me. He also lives for you, but she didn't understand. She's so sensitive too, you know? So then that was happening. And then she gets over it. Then I get the cold, of course, and I don't handle it nearly as well as her. I'm just like, everybody, my throat hurts, you know? But then I get a call about work.
That was while you were there, Jess. I didn't realize that.
I get a call and I see and now I had done this pilot that was just so much fun. It was easy, breezy, beautiful with friends. It couldn't have been easier. Okay. And then I get a call, and I knew they were like going to pick up these pilots. And I get a call from my manager, and I'm like, okay, let the celebration begin.
Yeah.
Let the fiesta begin.
Start because in the limes, margaritas on the house.
What people yeah. don't understand about our business is within a minute, our financial situation can change drastically. And, you know, I already spent that pile of money. You know, that shit's already gone. I don't know where it went, but it's sure as fucking in my checking account. So I'm like, okay. And then I answer the phone and I hear in her voice immediately. Now, listen, I'm also
you
trained.
Know with your
like if the CIA needed somebody to study voice recognition, like when someone's calling from a hostage situation and they're saying like, I'm fine, but really they're not, like I would know. Also because I've been trained with doctors to know within a nanosecond whether this is good news or not. So I could tell in her voice when she started speaking, I was like, oh my God, something's happened. And it's not just that the pilot's getting picked up, but they're cutting the storyline of me and Mary Elizabeth Ellis, who's the other friend. They're going to cut those stories and make it a workplace comedy. And I knew that it had nothing to do with my performance. Really, at 45, I can sit in that queen energy.
We couldn't do that 20 years ago.
God, no.
And I was 10 years ago.
And I was fired for my performance, I believe, in some of the other shows. So I could stay in that queen energy for like a second, but then my ego started to like attack me, like from all sides. It was like that Hitchcock movie, The Birds. I was like, I know it wasn't me, but like it's pecking through the door. I can see its beak.
As a fellow actress and as honestly your understudy, I am struggling in this moment too, because I know people don't like that word anymore. I'm so triggered by this story because, girl, I've been there.
And I'm on vacation and I'm not alone.
It's always on vacation.
Can you help? Can you rate my underwater handstands? And I'm like, Sage, 9, 6.5. Please let me cry. Can someone give me a minute? Can I turn away in this cabana and cry into the linen curtains? But I can't. And my dad is there and he's like, hun, are you okay? I'm like, oh, no, understand. But here's the deal. The universe doesn't want that for me. It wants me to do a passion project with good old Carl Hornbauer that I'm about to be ready to go out and sell. And it wants that for me. It is not an easy gig, not in the slightest, but it is a passion. It lives in my blood and it is necessary. And it's actually about the feelings I was having in Mexico of like loving my dad and realizing the time will run out and loving my daughter and also trying to keep both of them from not stepping off the cobblestone street and getting hit by a cab. That's what it's about. It's about.
I love that.
So I knew sort of, but then I got even more like, oh my God, but am I just telling myself these stories? Like there is any rhyme or reason, or like, did this shitty thing just happen? Is it a shitty thing? I don't know which way is up. So I struggled and I used alcohol to, at some point, the wine wears out. And then actually, you're sadder afterwards.
Sometimes, but that's okay. You had to go through that. To go through that.
So I mean, were so helpful, June. I texted you and I was like, this has happened. You know, please understand this has happened. And you said like, yeah, like it happened. And that sucks. You did what that front desk guy would not do, is you validated that feeling. And then you wrote something that fucking kills me. And I have to print it out and frame it. And you said, but I also think maybe we're destined for greatness, ?
It's true. It's true.
I just was,
and you're
going to
destroy any role that you're given, you know. And as your understudy, I'm like always.
You're watching from the wings.
I'm watching from the wings, and I'm like, when, if they ever put that storyline in, you know, it's going to be just like a guest star role, and maybe you'll be busy with your other shows and I'll get a shot at playing that role. So I'm keeping, trust and believe, I'm keeping a close eye on what you're up to over there.
It's good. Do but a Google alert on that project.
I really will. Because I'm keeping a really close eye, but it is true, Jess. Like, we are in the prime of our lives. It's prime time. It's just true.
I so appreciate it. And then I was like, oh, do I even share this with Deep Dive? Like, because that's, I don't. Then I was like, yes, of course I do. Because I think we've all been there where we think there's something that's like easy peasy and we think it's going to come. But God damn it, does the world just surprise us? Because this was a configuration I hadn't even conceived of.
Wow.
That the show gets picked up, but it's I'm not in it. I was like, wait, what?
Right.
Wait, what?
Right.
And so do we then, is this the universe testing us, or do we then give into the feeling that, you know, nothing has a reason and like we should believe what someone else tells us about ourselves? Like, we have to stay true to our vision. We
have
must.
To.
But God damn it, isn't that easier when things are going well?
It is. But you gave me the same advice just a week earlier when I was like,
yes,
I was considering doing a project that nobody had really offered me that role, but I was considering, you know, taking another step down the road with the project. And I was like, you know, it's just not, I knew it wasn't quite right. But there were so many appealing factors.
I read in a Real Simple magazine that I was buying, and actually it made BBI almost miss our flight. There was advice from mothers. People had written in their advice that their mothers gave them. And one was, if it doesn't feel 100% right, don't do it. It's not worth doing. And that's when you were having those conversations. I was staying silent because we were doing our shoot, which we will reveal. I don't even want to tell you guys what it's for because it's so insane.
It's literally one of the more insane things we've ever done. But there's going to be some photos and some content coming out in the next month or so. I actually don't know when.
That will destroy you. It's going to destroy your...
It's going to just break the internet and publishing, the industry. It's going to shut
really
it down.
Wild. We really did something wild that day. But I'm sitting there and I was thinking to myself, I'm not going to tell June not to take this easy money because
you really,
God, it was so hard. I should have told you then and that. No, I
you
did.
Sure
I gave you
did.
The tools.
Yeah,
I gave you a fishing rod. I gave you a fishing rod, but I was not going to reel in that fish for you because at the end of the day, if you told me I need to do this for that reason, but I did, you could tell, right?
Yeah.
Could you tell what I thought about it? Because I was
1,000%,
like, Jess. Yeah. Because I thought.
I didn't think you were being too coy about it.
That's interesting. That's my coy.
Oh my God. You were basically like, let it go, sweetie. Let it go.
That's interesting. That was me holding back.
That's how I was with the front desk worker. Like, that was me being actually quite diplomatic. You know, my Joe Pesci was actually quite reserved.
Right.
So
that was his like first take before they told him to take it to 10. You know?
Exactly.
So yeah, I think as women too, it's very hard for us to step into our queen energy and then stay there when the birds are coming at us.
Fuck. I know, because it feels really good to like take a stand, right? And then it's like, oh, the ego is a fucking powerful beast.
Yeah, and it'll keep coming at you. But you know what? When you wait a couple days, it dies down. And wise mind remains. Okay.
Listen, I have been really thinking of, it's so weird you say that. I have been really trying to exercise my pause button.
Just wow. Pause. I don't know if I have one.
Okay. And I will tell you the reason why I passed on that project, I'm almost certain of, the day after we spoke about it.
Yeah.
I was originally going to talk to my managers and agents about it like in the morning at 9 a.m. and then they had to reschedule the call. So I didn't get to talk to them till like 4.
Wow.
And there was something about, I had a built-in pause. And there was something about that pause where I really thought, is this right? Is this like spiritually right? And then, you know, all of the fears that come up, will I ever get another job? you know, this industry doesn't want women to age, like what, you know, all of the stuff. I have to work now. I lost time. All of the fears. But because I waited, by 4 o'clock, I was clear that the financial fear, everything that like comes up around money and work, I was like, you know what? I have got to, at this point in my career, I got to sit with my instincts.
Question, how did you quiet the fear enough to hear the wise mind in that 9-to-4 space? Did you do anything? Did you work out? Did you journal? What did you do anything specific to kind of try to quiet that other, those birds, you know, to fight the birds?
Well, listen, I talked to you and Matt Walsh about it. Yes, yeah. Matt Walsh is involved in our content shoot and you'll see him there. Deep divers. It's going to be, going to be completely confounding. But I did appreciate what you both said and I did hear it. And then I talked to Paul a lot about it. And
yeah, that's always the right thing to do.
Yeah. I did seek counsel.
Yeah.
From like a couple people I really respected, you being one of them. But I then just was like, you know, where I struggle, and I think a lot of people struggle, and I do this sometimes with making plans too, is like, I get like, oh, let's go out to dinner. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then it's hard for me to think about, June, how will you feel?
Right.
How will you feel when you have to leave your kids and put on your makeup and your armor and head out into the world? Like, don't think about what this feels like now to be wanted and to feel that like high of plan.
Yes, to be wanted.
To be wanted,
and also to know that money is also equals wanted.
Ooh, yes.
And safety. Money always equals safety to us too, yes. Because we are such little scraps.
Traveling salespeople.
From scrappy backgrounds. There ain't no
numeral,
Roman numeral 1, 2, or trace at the end of our names.
No, it's so true.
And there never will be.
It's so true. It's like, I have that, you know, scarcity model mentality. I can get that. I can, you know. Deprivation. You're not going to get the stuff you want, you know, and when the truth is I have everything I want and need. I do already. So, you know, I just tried to really let some time go by. I don't know that I did anything. I just let some time go by. And time is like a hell of a thing.
Yeah. And there is that urgency.
Yeah.
Which I live in, you know.
Me too.
It'll fuck you. So you take as much time as you want. And sometimes, and unfortunately with these pilots, there's always a clock that's insane. They're like, you have 6 hours and 34 minutes to decide about what could be the next 7 years of your life.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and God. And also like, you know, that where I get to too is like, I start to doubt the spirits. Because I say like, because I was like, oh, Lila brought me that job. Why would she bring me that job if then it was going to be taken away? And then I was like, no, because I keep thinking about what Lila said to the medium when she, you know, honestly, her daughter had paid for the time. I don't know why she was taking up that time for me. But as again, right before she died, she said, I was the person she's most worried about. She was leaving behind. So I think I get it. But she said
she wants to rest, but unfortunately, yeah,
she's still worried about
me. She does have some work to do.
She is worried. I know she is. And I feel that. But she said to her daughter, tell Jessica, keep going. Don't give up.
Wow.
And so when I got this job, I was like, okay, Lila, thank you. Thank you. But really what you wanted to do was bridge the gap for me, because I was financially flipping out. And actually I was like, how am I going to wait? Because to sell this, to when I sell this thing with Kyle, I'm going to say when, because I'm all the cults I'm following.
There's a role for me in there somewhere.
Of course there will be. Come on.
I know it's hard for the two of us to be on screen together, but I don't know if she has a sister or I don't know.
She will and she does.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Just going to throw that out there.
I appreciate that. But I needed something to bridge the gap, and I needed a positive experience at work, because I was feeling like, oh God, I'll never work again. But I think that what Lila wanted was, you know, for that to go down. And then I was like, Lila, please send me a sign. I'm really, really freaking out. I don't know if you're even here. You start to doubt the spirit sometimes. I know you don't. You really don't doubt that your parents can hear you and see you and feel you.
I don't.
And I'm so glad, because I do doubt, as much as I'm saying to everyone, they're here. I sometimes, when things, shit hits the fan, I will doubt it. And anyway, Lila loved the moon, and she texted her daughter and her son every night the moon, a picture of the moon. And Molly just got all these, the phases of the moon tattoo on herself. And so I was like, please, Lila, please, Lila. And anyway, we're walking home that night from dinner, and I looked up at the sky, and it was the most brilliant full moon I'd ever seen. And there were people paying to look at a telescope. Now that's a COVID nightmare. A gigantic telescope to see it. And I said, it just caught me.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, maybe that's her. Maybe it isn't. I don't fucking know. You know what? At the end of the day, we got ourselves, and that's a lot. And so I'm not saying the spirits aren't there, but if for some reason they're busy, we also don't need them. We can do it ourselves.
Absolutely, Jess. And, you know, I've told you about like signs and my hummingbird, and then later what happened with the hummingbird and the net and everything. And I really do feel like, and I remember actually, like 2 days after my mom died, I was in our house, and for some reason I went for a walk, and I saw a dead bird on the sidewalk. Mm. A dead baby bird. It looked like it had fallen out of the tree or like a nest or something. And I fucking freaked the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
I freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what is this? Like,
what kind of sign is this?
Everything had like all the signs. I was feeling like so kind of in the state of shock and grief that I was in. And I was in total shock, but I was feeling like, there was a weirdly guided to.
It's okay.
And
it's
when
okay.
I saw that dead bird, and I had this the creepiest feeling come over me. And then when I got back to the house, my friends were over and helping, and I went into the fridge to get something, and like a bunch of Diet Cokes fell all over the place, and I was like,
yeah.
I freaked because I couldn't handle
dead bird, dead baby bird plus avalanche Diet Cokes equals
Diet Cokes.
I'm fucking freaking out.
I was like, the world is crumbling around me. It was like, you know, and I feel now that the chaos of the world, you know, and sort of the things that are often out of our control, I don't see that as an indicator of like someone's not helping us.
Right.
You know, I see our lessons and I see what we have to learn. I mean, for me, it's like letting go of ego over and over and over again and fighting those fucking attacking birds of ego. But the lessons that we have to learn are also like we're being guided there. You know?
And it's almost like the and I said this to you. You are now telling
it's really this is the saddest podcast ever. Okay. So you teach me a lesson. I learn.
Like I have it on my phone.
And then you need that lesson. Honestly, so much more than I did. Okay. And then I have to tell you exactly. Oh, honestly, the exact words.
Because I told as you're talking, me, I'm like, oh, that sounds familiar.
All, and
I'm
like, you said it.
Right.
You said it.
They can't control all the details. That's the point. It's like there's so many details in life that like they can't do everything. It's insane to say like you could control everything. Okay. They can't. Okay, they're not in those network meetings about retools.
No.
Okay, they can't. She can't do that. It's like ridiculous. But we are on a path, and they are gently guiding us.
This or you're this is going to open up something else, sweetie. And that's what I think is that you might have needed this for whatever reason, but what you just said, and again, I'm going to repeat back to you what you just said to me, is the stepping into your own, you've always been a storyteller, but like that knowledge of like, it doesn't feel right unless you're sharing something that you feel so personal about. I mean, that's playing house. That's BFF. Like it is your calling, Jess. And you are a supremely talented, brilliant performer. Brilliant. And you can do whatever pilot or sit, whatever you want to do. But when that is paired with like what you want to share and say, it's, you know, that's it. That's what you have to be doing. Which isn't to say you can't do other stuff along the way, make money, learn and collaborate and like all that jazz. But it's just, and it's when people say that to me, by the way, of like, you want to write your own thing? I'm like, no, I don't.
June, when I see you, like the Jane Club, when I see you the head of these movements and yes, doing roles and making your money, but when that's when I see you come alive, when you're at the helm of groups of women and mobilizing and inspiring. Which is why I'm always like, you may run for office someday. Like there, but that also might not be where you go because you're taking your capital, you know, in entertainment, and you're bringing it to these causes that are, and you're using it like that. And again, it's like, I don't even know how to read the newspaper. So that's not for me, right?
I appreciate that, but I just want to say, you know, and again, and maybe we're just both building each other up right now.
We are. I needed it. Sorry, I needed it.
No, I listen.
I want people to know that we need it sometime. Everyone knows what a mess we are. Everyone knows what a mess we are.
That's been.
But I just want people to know, like, when they get that knock, that punch from the side into the side of the head, you know. And they look around and go like, oh, God, OK, here are some steps. Consult your community.
Yes. They'll help you tell a different story because, oh, it broke my heart when Ashley Judd described her mother's mental illness. And she said something like mental illness. It was like she was so convinced of this lie, convinced her mother of a lie. And I don't know, something about that resonated so clearly with me where I was like, the mind is so fucking powerful. And if you want to tell yourself the narrative of like, oh, it doesn't work out, nothing works out, they didn't sure. But that is a lie. And we do know that at this point. And I do think it's really important to create new stories for ourselves to really believe in. And sometimes I think you just need to be reminded that those are your stories. Your stories are like, you have created your shows. It is your, honestly, birthright to be a storyteller and to share and to connect with people in that way. It just is. That's the story. And you know, it's really the only one that makes that's true.
And your friends, if only we could see ourselves the way our friends see us, mm-hmm. right? But we can't do that all the time. And we should not expect it of ourselves, because sometimes you're going to get a weird call in the middle of, you know, Mexico. And
listen, and you know what, Jess, though, what I'm trying to honor more is the process of being a creative person in the world, which is constant heartbreak. It's constant heartbreak. And so we have to honor our process, which is like, you know, I remember Paul saying to me one time, I came home from doing something and I was like, oh, I don't think I did a good job. I don't think this person liked me. The director didn't say anything. I was looking over here for affirmation or whatever I was doing. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, that's your process.
Yeah.
That's your, you're going to have to go through unless you want to choose another process. And then I was like, oh, wow, it's really true. I can stop beating myself up about this.
Right.
It's part of the creative process. You have to mourn. You gave of yourself. You created something. It's not moving forward.
It's moving forward. It is moving forward. Please know that. but I also get very attached to people.
Oh,
right. God. And I want to be with them. And I am thinking about us going to Cabo, you know, but also like, and I reached out to Gina Rodriguez, who Lennon and I wrote a movie for, and she's the star. She couldn't be a lovelier or easier person to work with and act with. And I was like, I'm just sad about that. You know, because the writer in me understands it, but I'm sad I won't be with you because I was kind of excited about that.
Of course.
You know, and she was like, we will work together again. We have to believe that we'll always be together. And I said that to Matt Walsh, too, when we were talking about the UCB having been closed. I mean, the mm-hmm. place that gave birth to us as we knew it is no longer mm-hmm. does no longer exist. And I was asking him about that, and he was saying, you know, part of it is like a new chapter, you know, and that's good for all of them. Mm-hmm. And they've given us so much. The actual UCB mm-hmm. who founded that theater gave us everything. They gave you your husband, your career. They gave me my best friends. But I said, that doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't. Here's the thing. I really feel that, you know, not everything needs to stay forever.
That's exactly right. It can't.
Like the experience you had in Mexico City when Bibi was dancing in the streets is not the experience you had this time. And she's not the same person. You're not the same person. And that's great. That's good.
That's right.
And maybe there is some grief to that. That's okay too. You know?
Right.
If we're awake and alive for like impermanence and
then we will constantly have a lump in our throat.
Yeah.
But without that, then you don't you don't experience the joy.
Oh, and I can't even look at a picture of my kids from 6 months ago.
I know. It's really
I don't like doing that. I don't like going back. I can't look at baby pictures. I'm like, it's too much for me. I must stay here, you know?
And that's why your mother, you know, built a nest in a basketball hoop was to say, I want you to enjoy yourself. I want you to let it go for a minute, you know? And I actually, that night was interesting because I did some journaling and thank God I'm in DBT because they have a lot of tools, you know, when you're feeling dysregulated, which I was. But I thought, I'm going to do opposite action, which is the most valuable tool that I've learned so far, which is like when you are feeling completely out of your zone and no amount of checking the facts is getting you back in it. This is like your emergency tool belt. You do opposite action. What you want to do is cry and obsess about it. And instead,
you don't put on a podcast?
That's self-soothing. Okay, that works too. But you say, I'm going to put my makeup on, I'm going to put on my dress, and I'm going to go to dinner, and I'm going to enjoy myself with my father and my daughter. It's called opposite action. You do the opposite of what you are doing. So I did that. And God damn it, did we have the fucking restaurant experience of our lives. We were on a rooftop. The sun was setting over the church bells. Bibi was setting up her mouse and their miniature food. The food was delicious. And we had a lovely time. I didn't bring it up once. And I was like, I can be happy without external validation. Now, half an hour later after that dinner, when the wine left my system, I did have another hard time.
That's okay.
But I'll never forget that dinner. I'll never forget that dinner sitting in the sun, you know.
And I'm telling you, Jess, at the end of the day, and I mean the very end, we're not going to be looking back, wondering about a pilot with Gina Rodriguez. We're going to be remembering dinners on rooftops.
With our dads.
With our loved ones. Absolutely. That's 100%. That's fucking it. Let us not forget. That's the stuff right there. That's the time. That is the time. It's sacred. It's sacred. Okay.
Yep.
It's not an ABC pilot. And again, I'm absolutely available to be cast in one.
I want everyone to know, like, as much as I want to tell my own story, like, I'm very much available.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, please, and as much as Jessica wants me leading movements, I am available as an actress.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. And if there's punch up writing work, you're also available. You'll get on that computer. You know?
Absolutely available. Write jokes.
Oh,
so
God.
Listen, I came into this podcast today feeling really upset about my coffee. and
drilled down.
Honey, I like a luxury hotel. And I will say that this should have been my first red flag on this one, is that they called themselves a luxury hotel.
Do your job.
Okay. And once you call yourself on your website a luxury hotel,
come on.
Then I
true.
Know
Rosewood doesn't know say shit.
Yeah, they just are what they are.
They just are the Rosewood Hotel. Okay. They
period.
Are the Rosewood.
Well, stop.
They are the Rosewood. They don't need to tell us how luxurious they are. And it ain't luxurious not to be able to have a coffee at 5 a.m. That's luxury, friend. And that's where we're going to end. And again, we start shallow, we go deep. You got to go shallow to go deep. You got to warm up.
You
don't stick it in dry,
because
you're going to be in a world of hurt. Okay?
Dan just walked in for that last line and he just walked away, shaking his head.
Deep divers, we will see you next week.
We really will.
Have a wonderful week, Jess. I love talking to you.
Love you, buddy.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. Deep, there you go. Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free 1 month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Anne Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnneGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.